Well, people of God, if you would turn in your Bibles to the prophet Isaiah, we'll be looking this evening at some farming advice from Isaiah 28. We'll be reading verses 23 through 29. This is the word of God, Isaiah 28, verses 23 through 29. Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my speech. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? Does he keep turning his soil and breaking the clods? When he has leveled its surface, does he not sow the black cumin and scatter the cumin, plant the wheat in rows and barley in its appointed place and the spelt in its place? For he instructs him in right judgment. His God teaches him. For the black cumin is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over the cumin. But the black cumin is beaten out with a stick, and the cumin with a rod. Bread flour must be ground, therefore he does not thresh it forever, break it with his cartwheel, or crush it with his horsemen. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. Well, we live in this society, and looking out the windows around us, in a very urban environment. And yet, no matter how far advanced we may become, we never can get too far from the soil, can we? We're still dependent on the soil to provide us with the food that we eat. It's grown and grow grain or hay to feed to animals. And even though we don't see those things, nevertheless, we all know what dirt is. Perhaps you grow a garden at home, and you plant tomatoes or flowers, and you know you have to work the earth. Well, Isaiah here is speaking in the midst of a very agrarian society. They certainly understood these things. They were very close to the earth. And he brings his message having to do with the soil. And so this evening, even though we might not be in the midst of fields of corn, nevertheless, we all understand soil, and this word comes to us as well. And Isaiah begins in verse 23. Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my speech. In other words, listen up, people of God, because I have something to say to you. In verse 24, Isaiah begins to speak of plowing and harrowing. Verse 24, does the plowman keep plowing all day long to sow? Does he keep turning his soil and breaking the clods? Now, perhaps you're familiar with the idea of plowing, and to some level or not, but just in case you're not, now the plow is a very simple implement, and it's still used today. It's essentially a wedge driven through the earth. As it digs through the earth, it turns up a furrow of sod and soil, and it puts it on its side. And it can be complicated or it can be simple. In the days of Isaiah, it probably would have been made out of wood, some sort of wood contraption pulled by an ox, perhaps, digging up furrows. Today, you can imagine enormous tractors pulling plows with, you know, perhaps up to 16 or more plow heads on them, and you know, in the effort to increase the speed of which land can be tilled. But the principle is the same. The land has to be plowed. And of course, once a field is plowed, it still can't be planted because those furrows and those clods of dirt are too big and too heavy to take seed. And so the farmer has to harrow a field that's been plowed. And that's what Isaiah is referring to here when he talks about breaking the clods, and the clods of dirt. And of course, in Hebrew, the word here probably could be better translated harrow. A harrow is an implement, and there are very many different types of them, a common one being a disc harrow, which is run over the furrows and the clods of earth and breaks them into fine soil. And as we've said, this is necessary. You can't plant seed on a just freshly plowed furrow. You have to break up the clods of dirt so that the soil is workable. It improves what's called the tilth of the soil, so that the seed can have good contact with the soil and get the water and the nutrients that it needs. Of course, in Isaiah's day, this was often done by pulling branches over the furrows back and forth until the field was level and the field was with good workable soil. Now, Isaiah here asks a question. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? And this is a little bit unclear in the way that this is translated. It sounds like it could be saying, does he plow all day, 9 to 5? And in the Hebrew, the sense here is the idea of continuation, continually, without end. And what Isaiah is asking here is, if you were to go out and talk to a farmer who's plowing, and you were to say, well, what are you going to do today? And he says, well, I'm going to plow up my fields. And you say, well, okay, well, what are you going to do tomorrow? And he says, oh, I'm going to plow them again and again and again. And of course, the answer is, he wouldn't do that, would he? This is a rhetorical question. Does a plowman plow his fields continually? Does he continually plow and harrow his ground? And the answer is no, of course not. And Isaiah here, well, when he's leveled the surface, doesn't he go and sow and scatter all these different things? He sows cumin and scatters cumin, wheat, and rows, barley in its appointed place. He doesn't plow and harrow his field just for the sake of the fun of driving a tractor or an ox. He does it for a purpose. And that purpose comes once it's all done, and he can plant. And plants everything at the right place. In fact, he knows where to put everything. He knows the right place to put the barley and the spelt, all these different grains of the ancient world. And it says here in verse 26, for he instructs him in right judgment. His God teaches him. Now, is Isaiah saying that farmers have some kind of special revelation, that they know exactly when to plow because God tells them? No, that's not really what it's saying. It's simply suggesting this, that the farmer uses wisdom that God has given him and uses information that he's learned and that he observes from God's created world. And he uses this in order to make a productive field. He doesn't just go off doing things randomly here and there. I'll just plow my field 30 times this week and then I'll plant 30 times. No, he does the things for a reason. He does things at the right time. He does things for a time. And he does things for a purpose. For he is rightly instructed by his God. Now, I've entitled this sermon, Farming Advice. But this is not advice for farmers. Just in case you were wanting to learn a few tips, that's not really what Isaiah is telling this for us for. This, in fact, is advice for the field that is being plowed and that is being harrowed. And as Paul tells the Corinthians, you are God's field. We could say that God is the heavenly farmer who brings his plow and his harrow into his field. Let's look at the context of this passage a little bit. Isaiah, the first 39 chapters or so, are a lot about God's judgment that he's bringing on his people. The people of God have wandered away from him, and they have turned their backs on him. And Isaiah has promised here that God is going to bring trials into their lives. And there's two particular trials that we see coming to the fore here. The first we could call God's plow, Assyria. And we see in the later parts of the chapter 30s of Isaiah, God bringing his plow, Assyria, into his field, into Israel, and plowing his land. And then he's going to bring his harrow, Babylon, and break up the clods. And he brings these as a discipline for sin. We sang before from Psalm 129, they plowed my back like farmers plowing furrows. Yes, have they made their gouges deep and wide? And we sang of this as plowing as a metaphor for God chastening his people. The pain of being plowed under, as it were. Now, people of God, if Israel could be plowed and harrowed in order to produce something for a purpose, so God can bring a plow and a harrow into his church and even into our own lives as well. In fact, he does this. We know that God disciplines those he loves. And at the time, it seems painful and not pleasant, but it always produces something good, doesn't it? Well, people of God, this passage is for us as well. As God brings his plow and his harrow into our lives. And you've probably experienced it, because we've all suffered in this life in various ways at various times. And God brings his plow into our lives and plows it up. And we take a look at the wreckage that's left and all the clods of dirt. And just as we're about to go and try to put the pieces back together, he brings his harrow and breaks up the clods into tiny little pieces. And we might be tempted to ask, how long, O Lord? Why are you doing this to my life? And that's why Isaiah is bringing this message. Does the good farmer, the plowman, does he plow his field every day of the year? No, of course not. Does he harrow every day of the year? Of course not. But he does it at the right time. And he does it for a time. And he always does it for a purpose. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. When he brings his plow and his harrow of discipline into our lives, it's not simply for the purpose of producing suffering. It's not continual. He brings times of refreshing. But he brings what we need into our lives, although it's painful and not pleasant. He brings his plow and he brings his harrow at the right time, and for a time, and for a purpose. And what is this purpose that he has for us? Well, just as a farmer plows and harrows his field, what's the purpose? It's to produce fruit. And so it is in our lives. Our Heavenly Father brings trials and suffering and difficulties into our lives to produce fruit in our lives. We're often tempted to ask with the psalmist, forever will the Lord reject? Can I his favor not expect? Forever has his kindness ceased, and is he from his word released? Did God forget to show his grace? Does wrath his mercy now replace? As the psalmist says, then I replied, such questions show that I, my weakness, need to know. We ask these questions, we say, how long? Is this going to be forever? And Isaiah reminds us, this is not forever, but this is for a time, and it's at the right time, and it's for a purpose, for a specific purpose in our lives. Now, in verse 27, Isaiah changes the metaphor a little bit. He says this, for the black cumin is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over cumin. But the black cumin is beaten out with a stick, and the cumin with a rod. It's still an agricultural metaphor, but he's changed from speaking of planting time to harvest time. And if you've ever driven past a field of wheat, and you see it out there waving on its stalk, and you might wonder, how does it get from being a plant growing in the ground to being in a delicious loaf of bread, or perhaps bagels or donuts or something? Well, it's a complicated process, isn't it? Because, first of all, it has to be cut. And then the good grain has to be removed from the stalk and from the chaff around it before it can then be gone on to be milled and so on. And that's called threshing. And that's what Isaiah is speaking about here. Black human is not threshed with a threshing sledge. A threshing sledge here would be an implement, a large, perhaps flat-bottom sledge. And you have a pile of grain on a threshing floor, and you'd run the sledge over it, and the force would roll the grains out of the chaff, and you could then separate the good seed from the useless chaff. But notice here, not everything gets threshed with a threshing sledge. Black cumin, for example, doesn't. And you don't use a cartwheel, likewise, for this other type of cumin. But they're beaten out with a stick and with a rod. And why is that? Well, some grains are too delicate. If you give them the treatment that you give hard wheat, you'd crush them and they'd be of no use, of no good. And so they get a different treatment. And the good farmer knows what each different type of grain needs and how much they need. Again, even the grain is not threshed forever. It's run over with the threshing sledge. It's a brutal process if you're from the point of view of the grain. But it's not forever. And in all these things, the Lord knows what his people need. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows what we can handle. And he brings into our lives the kind of trials that we need in order to produce fruit and to be useful to the kingdom. And so when we're being crushed, as it were, when we're being threshed, this is to be an encouragement to us. It's not forever. And it is what we need in this life to produce fruit. And as I've said, the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. And he will only bring into our lives that which we can handle. But as someone once wisely said, sometimes it's surprising for us to learn how much the Lord knows that we can handle. Because sometimes it seems unbearable, and yet the Lord in his mercy is always there with us in our trials. Now, we read from our call to worship from Hosea 10, verse 12. Hosea the prophet is ministering in a very similar time to Isaiah, about the same period in the kingdom. And he has this to say. He says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rains righteousness on you." I think from this we could infer it would be a mistake to think that, well, you know, there's these areas of my life, and we call them fallow ground. They're not being productive for God's kingdom, for his glory. They're doing their own thing. And it would be perhaps a mistake for us to say, well, I'll just wait until God brings his plow and his harrow into my life and makes them fruitful. And I'll just leave them alone. And Hosea is telling us the opposite here. He says, you don't have to wait until God brings discipline and trials into your life. Says, go out and break up your fallow ground. Why? For it is time to seek the Lord. As you can imagine, a farmer exists on somewhat of a schedule. Certainly in these temperate climates, when the ground is frozen, can't do a whole lot. When the ground thaws, it's time to plow. And when the ground is plowed, it's time to plant. And when the crop grows, it's time to harvest and to thresh. And then it's time to prepare the fields for next year. And Hosea tells us here, what is the time right now? If we were to put on our farmer hats and say, what time is it? What should we be doing? Hosea says, it is time to seek the Lord. That is the time for right now. And he calls us, break up your fallow ground. Find those parts of your lives that are not being productive for the kingdom use, that are not producing fruit for God's glory. Break it up with your plow. Turn to the Lord, and he will come and rain righteousness on you. He is the one who brings the growth. But he calls us to break up our fallow ground, to seek his face. And why should we seek his face? Well, we're told in verse 29, This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. The excellence of the Lord's wisdom, the wonder of his counsel, is most wonderfully seen in the pinnacle of his plowing work. As we've sung from Psalm 129, we've seen, as it were, Israel's plowing. They plowed my back like farmers plowing furrows. And as we will see later on in Isaiah, if you were to continue reading, you see Israel as a nation called to produce certain fruit. And all the sufferings and trials that were brought upon Israel. But Israel as a nation was not able to do so. As he says, I've made you a light for the nations. It's too light a thing for you to bring back the tribes of Jacob. I made you a light for the nations. But Jacob says, I have labored for nothing. But there is one, the ultimate one, to come out of the nation of Israel. The one who was plowed under. The one who is the pinnacle, the representative of Israel as a nation. And this is the suffering servant, the Messiah, the embodiment of Israel who was plowed under and who fulfilled all that God had desired to see come out of Jacob. And this is Christ. People of God, when you come under God's plow, when you suffer and experience trials in this life, don't forget that Christ is ultimately the one whose back was plowed. And he took the plowing that we could not sustain, that we could not handle. It's because of his work that our plowing is only temporary and for a short time and for a purpose of producing fruit. Don't forget the wonder of and excellence of God's wisdom. That Christ's plowing was at the right time. As Paul says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son. Even the best of farmers can't plan things to that degree. But our Heavenly Father brought Christ at just the right time. His suffering and death at just the right time in human history. Remember as well that Christ's plowing was for a time. Remember his words on the cross, it is finished. And on the third day he was raised again in power and glory. His suffering finished. The work completed. People of God, remember that our trials in this life, though there will be times of suffering and times of refreshing, but all through this life, we experience the miseries of this life. But there will come a day when, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we will too will be raised to be with him forever. The field will have been plowed for the last time, and the fruit will abound for all eternity. Remember, Christ's plowing was for a purpose. God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God. We, as it were, are the fruit that grows out of the furrows plowed in Christ. We, his people, are here today because of his work. And we are producing fruit for the glory of God because of Christ's suffering and death. People of God, when you suffer in this life, don't forget Isaiah's exhortation in this passage. The Lord brings his plow and his harrow into our lives, but it is for a time. It is at the right time. And it is for a purpose. It is never outside of his plan and his purpose. It might seem random. It might seem unnecessary. But just as the good farmer plows his field at the right time and does it for a purpose, so it is in our lives. His is the hand on the plow. And his is the hand that will sow the seed and bring the rain of righteousness into your life. People of God, take courage, because Christ likewise suffered. And he, even right now, is seated at the right hand of the Father, is working in and through his church. He will produce fruit in your life for the sake of his own glory. People of God, remember these words, and remember the wonder of his counsel and the excellence of his guidance. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your goodness to us. Recognize that we often don't understand why we suffer. We often cry out with the psalmist, "How long, O Lord?" We pray that you would help us by your word and spirit to be comforted, to know your love, your goodness, and your wisdom. We are not outside of your sovereign providential control of the world, but we are always under your divine care. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. You give us your word as an encouragement and a comfort to us, just as you comforted your people of old, though you chastened them for evil. You brought discipline into their lives, but you also comforted them with your word. So would you comfort us? Help us to see where our ground may be fallow, where we may be unproductive for your kingdom. Help us to repent and to turn to seek your face, knowing that you are faithful and just, that you will turn and rain righteousness upon us. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would set our hearts on Christ at all times. Help us always to be seeking to serve him and to love him, that your glory would be seen by all, that your glory would be made famous and known in this world. We pray that you would be with each of us, even as we go out into the world once again, that we might be lights for you in a dark world, that we might live for you in all things. And so we thank you, our Heavenly Father, for your goodness to us. We ask your blessing on us. In Jesus' name. Amen.